You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The trade deadline has come and gone, and fans may not have gotten the big moves they wanted, but at least the Gus Bus experiment's done, right? Hey everybody, I'm your host with the most, Joe Gazarian, and I did not watch the game last night because I was out getting a new vehicle. Truth be told though, I would have paid all that money just to not watch the game, period. So, you know, all's well as it ends well, I guess.
Yeah, I had the unfortunate duty of handling the Twitter, and I mean, I don't know if I really expected anything. I don't think I had an expectation going into the game. I didn't expect them, I think, to get blown out necessarily, but they did that anyway. I'm Matt Arenick, and because of all these blowouts, there are bad takes all over Flyers Twitter recently. So if you want some terrible things to read, just hop on hashtag Flyers and start scrolling.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass on that. I'm Mike Zawisza, and I can't believe that I'm once again gearing up for a draft and free agency instead of a playoff run. I mean,
that's so depressing.
After last year, yeah, who would have thought we would be in this situation? I keep thinking of that Paul Rudd meme where he's like, "Who would have thought? Not us." Like
holy shit.
It's basically us right now.
Well, did that drop right before the pandemic, or was that like a?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It feels like it was 5 years ago.
You hung out with the Zoomers. You ask them; they'll know. They're hip to memes, right? So you ask the Zoomers. You let me know. But yeah, I mean, this is just it's a lost season. We'll get into the deadline and the couple moves that they did make and a couple moves from around the league. But real quick, a word from our sponsor, Matt. You want to take us through, buddy?
Yeah, absolutely. So basketball season won't be around forever. So get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one day, fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code THPN during signup. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before, and make it rain. Every dunk, steal, assist means so much more with the DraftKings daily fantasy lineup. With DraftKings, payday comes every day. So what are you waiting for? Head over to the app now, download the DraftKings app now, and use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN. And you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
I think we're getting better at this, guys. I think we're getting better at these ad reads as they come along. So I'm proud of us. But excellent ad read.
Some more sponsors in here.
There we go.
We'll have one every 5 minutes.
Exactly. Well, let's get into it, guys. The treadline. Jesus. Trade deadline is come and gone. And Mike, you called it, buddy. You had Raffle probably exiting the building, and it's official. His time. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we all kind of combined called it. I said.
I think
Joe was out. Joe was not.
I don't think so. Yeah, I didn't think so. I was like,
no. I said Gus for a seventh, and then
I think you did say that. Yeah.
I can't remember who else we had. We said Gus. And then maybe Lots and one other player. I think you said obviously Raffle, but
we said it was either going to be. So you definitely called Gus. I'm pretty sure I called Raffle. I thought maybe Braun would get moved, and then we said Lawton would either be moved yesterday or like re-signed.
Yeah.
We kind of called that. I'm pretty sure, but yeah, we all there's also been tons of stuff we haven't called.
So. Especially the rest of the league, there was kind of a shocker move. We'll probably get into because it was when the league goes back to normal, it will be a division rivals. So but they are still a division rival. What am I talking about? But yeah, anyway, I mean Raffle took a lot of flack here. the last couple of years. As you know, some people said he's kind of like the face of mediocrity. Listen, I think the three of us would all agree he's given everything he's got. When he was on the ice, he played his heart out. He was not what's wrong with this team. He's just a good way to, a real success story if you think about it. I mean, comes from overseas, no one had ever heard of him. Gets a two-way contract, you know, plays his absolute hardest, and he got to the NHL. You know, good for him. It's terrific. I think we all wish him well with the Capitals. He's injured, so he didn't play last night, right? Okay. Thank God. That would have been brutal. Can you imagine? He dresses in the lineup and they shell the Flyers 6-1. But Raffle's gone. Gus is gone. What are your guys? Give me a positive Raffle moment that you can think of. He had a terrific early playoffs last year. I know that's probably fresh in a lot of people's minds, but give me some thoughts, guys.
My big Raffle memory is that power move goal that he scored against the Pens a few years ago. It was in like a meaningless regular season game. I don't even know if the Flyers made it to the playoffs that year, and I think they wound up losing the game in overtime, but Raffle like drove down the wing with like a minute left, pulled an incredible toe drag and like stuffed it backhand, and when he used that power move down the wall,
that was my exciting play. I have my Raffle moment is that exact goal against the Predators. He did it against the Preds.
Yeah.
Did a stutter step against the wall. Okay. Absolutely lost the defender and went five-hole Pecorine, and they won the game.
Yeah. He had that move down. No, he didn't use it enough. But one thing I'll always remember about Raff, too, is never afraid to block a shot. How many times did he come out of the lineup because he broke his foot or fractured something in his foot from a blocked shot? And it really did seem like every time Michael Raffle came out of the lineup, especially within the last few years, the team's play sagged a little bit. Especially last year, I feel like he was... I mean, that fourth line, we had a lot of hope for it coming into this year, but Raffle was, like, the key to really making a lot of that work. So, played above his station too many times during his tenure here, but that was not his fault. I'll miss Raff. He's a good role guy.
I think that's why he may have caught slack from people who don't really understand roster construction and what to expect out of players. So you can't expect Raffle every night to have offensive chances, right? Like, he has that stutter step, like we mentioned. Maybe he should have used it more. But at the same time, I think the 20 goals he scored the 1 year, in a lot of fans' minds, set an unrealistic expectation moving forward of what they could expect in terms of he'd be teetering that 20-goal line. But I believe Alexander Appleyard posted his advanced stats, and he's like the prototypical desired bottom sixer. He has good Corsi. Like Mike said, he's willing to block shots, and that's not just because the puck's always in his end and chances are being tossed on net while he's on the ice. It's just the chances that he is in the defensive zone for, he's willing to block. He's a very good depth. He's the ideal player, honestly, you would want on a fourth line. It's a winger or something like that down a stretch. He's 6'2". He's strong. He's like you said last year, Joe, he was very good in the playoffs. I think he had four or five goals. So scores those playoff style goals as
he'll never shake that moniker here. Thanks to Hackstall.
Yeah, that guy. But yeah, I mean, it's sad to see him go, but I think it is a step in the right direction, because even though he's a good person for that role, we have the Lazinskis of the world, the Wade Allisons, who we might be seeing sooner than later. And we got to see if they can kind of fill that with maybe a little bit more offensive punch. So
yeah, it was time. It was just time to move on. He was a great locker room guy. I know he was really, really great friends with Scott Walton. So that's got to be a little awkward between the two of them now that Scott's back for such a long time. And now Raff is gone. But, I mean, it's just a move that needed to be done. Like you said, we have all these young guns. You draft these players for a reason. It's not to just keep paying Mike Raffle over and over again. Eventually you want to see what they can do. Maybe they have a couple moves, of their own. Maybe they'll steal Raffle's stutter step move. I don't know. But it was time. Want to thank Raff, though, for all the fun times. I mean, he was around for
500 plus games.
I mean, that's insane to think about. You know, he's undrafted, right?
Yep.
From Europe, and they don't really see that a ton anymore. So great for him. Wish him all the success in the Caps lineup once he draws back in. Not bad return either. I mean, fifth round pick. You know, we'll take it. The Flyers also got a 7th round pick for trading Eric Gustafsson to the Canadiens. Obviously, it would never work out from the start, and I think Chuck Fletcher even admitted that. It just, you know, he got into the redundancy in the lineup in his presser and stuff, and just was never a good fit for Gus. So, again, I don't have any ill will towards him. I wish him luck in Montreal. I don't know if he's even going to play. I have no clue. He looked great, like, the first, like, 2 games. I think his slap shot was getting through, and I think he assisted on the first goal, right? It was a slap shot, and he... From the point two, okay, so there you go. I was really excited for him, and it just completely fell apart after that. Never went anywhere. So that's the two, I guess, moves they made technically. What are your guys' thoughts on the Gus bus?
He might be one of the worst defensive, like, positioned, just even effort. Like, a lot of that's effort, and the reason I can point to this is, like, difference between playing club hockey growing up, and then once you get to, like, like college club at a little bit lower level, like, you get lazy and you don't really, like, keep your head on the swivel or things like that. But that's how he plays in the NHL. Like, the difference between feeling like it's your job to constantly be looking for a guy to pick up and always be, like, I think he just is always thinking about offense and pushing play, that's such a secondary consideration for him. And he was exposed mightily for it in our lineup. And I don't think at this point in his career that's going to change. Because, I mean, maybe he can help a bad power play on the top unit and you play him sheltered, like, third pair with a good defenseman. But even then, I mean, his gaffes are too terrible to really cover up.
Go ahead, Mike. Do you have any thoughts on the Gus bus?
Yeah, I mean... obviously didn't work out. He clearly has a lot of skill offensively. I think he's a guy that might have worked last year on last year's team, considering how well the team did break out passes and how often the defensemen were the ones initiating the rush and even creating zone or offense in the zone. So, but yeah, it just fell apart for the defense entirely this year. So, and he was obviously a big part of that. So best of luck in Montreal. I'm sure we'll get a couple looks there because they're
hurting. They also just lost Victor Mete, which is an interesting exchange, him for a younger...
That's a tough exchange.
Younger right-handed Mete. Shot. Moves the puck well.
Yeah.
I'll say this about Gus. He's going to win the Stanley Cup. That's my pick, the Montreal Canadiens. So he's going to win the Stanley Cup. Again, none of us have any ill will towards him. Good luck, buddy. I mean, listen, it's a shame. It didn't really make a ton of sense from the start. I'll never understand why they signed him.
No, not at $3 million. They must have – the only thing I consider is, like, he was pleasantly shocked of how well Ghost has done recently. Chuck Fletcher, like, I almost wonder if it wasn't for how well, like, Ghost played, if – I don't even know. Like, they just anticipated him being Ghost's replacement in the lineup.
Maybe.
I think it was partially, like, they were in on Brody and they lost out because Toronto went the extra year and with the no trade clause or no movement clause. And then they were kind of left looking at what was available. They didn't want to go Stetcher because kind of an unknown quantity. And they went Gustafsson instead, thinking that maybe he called lightning in a bottle. Because, I mean, for 1 year, you can't really overpay for 1 year.
No.
It's one of those moves that it doesn't hurt them moving forward. So, but yeah, I think that they were kind of just...
I'm just shocked he was able to get $3 million. Out of options.
Yeah. I mean, he was making
Yeah, four, but he got... Right, he got traded contract. for a fifth or fourth round pick?
It was like 2 seconds on deadline day. To the Flames? I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Because he was a hot commodity.
You very much could be right. He was coming off.
Here, let's look
all
it
I
up.
Know, all We're I know all is...
About,
Some people like, oh, well, it was a panic move when they lost Niskanen. They knew they were going to lose Niskanen.
You're right, Mike. Two-thirds.
They knew they were going to lose Niskanen. Like, they were aware of that, that it's potential that he wasn't going to come back. So I don't want to hear that it was a panic move. It's just a bad move.
Yeah, they knew early.
No, not you. Move. People on Twitter are saying that. Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
It's just a bad move. That's just at the end of the day, it was a bad gamble. So
stylistically, it made zero sense. Like when you looked at our team, like you weren't necessarily saying like we needed an offensive defenseman. That's the piece we were missing, especially because we got so much contributions from all defensemen last year. It was a kind of collective effort.
Yeah.
So that's why it really made no sense, but I don't want to harp on it too much. It's,
well, I mean, if nothing else though, like I get the redundancy with Ghost, but that's the last thing I'll say on it. They kind of just went into the year being like, all right, well, one of these guys is going to have to run with it. They gave Gus the shot first because Ghost was out with COVID and then he didn't run with it. And then Ghost got his shot and look, he's taken hold of it to the point where we might even wind up seeing Ghost on the team next year. Cause Fletcher specifically mentioned that Moran and Ghost have been their best pair as of late. So, I mean, over like considering how the year went too, like it's Erik Gustafsson's not the reason this team didn't make the playoffs. So, if him being signed meant that the team finally realized what they have in Ghost, then maybe that's a positive. That's like a positive to take from it, I guess.
We will see, my friends. But good luck in Montreal and win me that Stanley Cup, Gus. Win me that bet. But I did not, like I said, I did not watch the game yesterday. Thank God.
What a shame.
Yeah. But they played the Capitals, and they got rocked again. Everything I saw from what you guys were saying in the chat and when I got on Twitter this morning and I was looking, seemed like Elliott did not have a very good game.
No. No, he didn't.
I cards on the table, I didn't even watch the highlights yet. I haven't watched it, so I didn't see any of the goals, but you guys just, I know we don't want to talk about this very long, so just give a quick hit on the game. Just do it like you're talking to me. Just explain how the game went for me, because I honestly have no idea.
This is literally all I'm going to say about the game. It looked like a post-trade deadline team that knows they have no shot at the playoffs and just lost one of their favorite guys in the locker room. I mean, that's really what it looked like.
Fair enough.
They just looked defeated.
Problem is, though, it doesn't look too much different than games and teams' efforts we've seen in prior games. So I'm not willing to give them that that excuse. I know what you mean. Stylistically, that's what it looked like for sure.
Yeah.
It was Brian Elliott on the first goal found himself in the crease and he couldn't push himself back to the crease. No clue how he got there. Like we said, we don't want to go too much into it, but essentially our penalty kill was too passive again. The cross seam passes just sitting back in the box waiting for them to make the plays and hoping it would hit a player. It was embarrassing. Our power play didn't do anything. We had 3-on-2s where we're dumping pucks in the corner instead of taking the chance.
Oh,
it's,
my God.
It is a little weird and weary that, like, it's going to be interesting to see if Chuck holds true to not firing anyone, because if they continue to play like this, like, it plays like a team. Like, the person that sticks out the most is Kevin Hayes. Like, he doesn't even appear he wants to be on the ice.
I know his numbers are supposed to back him up, but I mean the eye test doesn't show him engaged all the time. But again, I didn't watch yesterday, so I'm not sure. But I know his numbers say he's doing well, and it's kind of a reversal of last year, right? Last year, his numbers were not as good as they are now, apparently. But to everybody's eye test, go ahead, Mike.
The numbers are about the same, like. Yeah, I mean,
he's also scoring again, shorthanded goals and like game-winning goals.
The difference. The penalty kill was one of the best kills in the league. He was one of the best defensive centers, you know, mid-range defensive centers in the league. He had the most visible plays at the most visible times in games. That was, and I had a bad feeling about this going into the year with Hayes, is that people watched him score 3 or 4 shorthanded goals last year at the most pivotal moments and score breakaway goals where he was picking Austin Matthews' pocket, et cetera, et cetera. And that goes a long way to making impressions. When you don't get that this year, he's still had breakaways, even though the penalty kill has been terrible. He just hasn't capitalized. So I think by every metric, he's just about the same. But I mean, I see what you're saying with the lack of compete.
It's more of the eye test. Yeah, it's not necessarily when you look at his numbers.
Yeah, that's just across the whole board for me. So I have a hard time.
He just specifically yesterday, I noticed it. Like, I remember there was a shift where I literally saw him go off on a change while they were going up the ice, like on the attack, and he was straight legged from like the our offensive blue line to the bench, like not even sticking out a leg to make a stride, like no interest. And I get it. I mean, when you have a team who you anticipate, like none of those veterans came into the season were like, yeah, we're probably going to fight for a playoff spot. They're probably thinking we're going to fight for the top spot. And now they find themselves in like a weird situation where they don't know like what the team's going to look like next year. And they know they're not making the playoffs. Yeah. So.
None of them signed up for this, basically. And all of them have done, again, I test aside for a guy like Hayes, all of them have done virtually everything in their power to make this season not go this way. Because like if Konechny is scoring, if Myers and Sanheim put together a strong entire season, if Provorov was able to play a strong entire season, if Ghost hadn't just started to play well a couple weeks ago.
They just had
like,
average goal.
All these things.
Average.
Jesus. Yeah, average goaltending from their two goalies.
So bad.
Yeah. If they'd gotten all those things, then we wouldn't even be talking about Kevin Hayes and the way that he, you know, is failing the eye test. Like, it's one of those compounding things that they just... Yeah,
the one thing I bring up to you guys that is I've noticed more recently is the defense have been so much more engaged in the offensive side of the play. I feel like I saw like Robert Hague last night, like multiple times joining the rush, like things you would never see from him. And I noticed that more off, like more from Sanheim following his overtime goal in Boston. And I don't know if that was like a system, I don't want to say like a system thing or just more of like a, because they lost Niskanen, they wanted to be a little more like reliant on the forwards and not have their D join as much. But have you guys noticed that? Am I the only one who's seen that?
I have noticed what you're saying, because I've even seen Sam Moran jump the play. He jumped that, like his first goal, he jumped up into the play for, you know, a 50-50 puck and scored. Like, to me, I don't think it's much systems. I think it goes back to the very beginning of the season where from game like 1 and 2, I know that they got, you know, they were getting outshot and stuff like that. But like offensively, they looked flawless. Like they were just creating off the rush. It was games 1 and 2 were still fun, at least game 1. But I think once the goalies started to get shelled and then once the defense started buckling, I think it all just like snowballed into... Nobody had any confidence about what they should be doing, and nobody had any clue about what they should do to kind of get things straightened out. And I think that manifested into defensemen not wanting to jump the play because they didn't want to further hang their goalies out to dry. And then all that does is you just wind up spending more time in your own zone, and you create opportunities for your goalies to be hung out to dry. So I think, to me, that's what it was. Maybe they have nothing to play for now, so they're playing with a little more risk or a little more, I don't know, pace to that end of the game.
That's a good point to segue. So they play Penguins tomorrow. Jeff Carter, Ron Hextall. Jeff Carter and Ron Hextall are a part of the Penguins organization now. What a nightmare world this has turned into. Personally, I want to hear what you guys are going to look for, but, you know, we talked about it. The trade deadline is come and gone. I thought that would put less pressure on this team. I thought they would play looser because, hey, we sold. We know what our future is. Let's just play out this year as best we can. Let's play loose. You know, let's try and find our game and build some momentum going into next season. And yesterday was not a good start, so... I'm looking for that at some point. I mean, it would be nice if it happens against the Penguins, but who knows? But I want to see a team that's a little bit loose, that's open to trying new things, that's open to jumping up on the rush, because at this point, what do you have to lose, right? You know, try whatever you want to try, because you've got, I think there's 14 games left, 13 games left, something like that. Not a ton of games left. Let's see what you can do. Build some positive momentum for the next season. I would like to see Sam Moran fight somebody. That is my last piece. You guys go ahead. What are you looking for against this Pens game?
To be enjoyable.
Just to win. It's always fun when you beat the Penguins. Yeah. I think, Joe, I do agree. That's what I want to see from them. Just, you know, play with house money the rest of the year. But I think I would not be shocked, honestly, given the way that this season has gone, if we kind of see a reverse of what we've seen throughout the year where, like, young player, Matt, you mentioned Haig and Sanheim have been jumping up in the play a little bit more. I wouldn't be shocked if we start seeing the young players kind of play a little looser and everything at the end of the year, and then we see some of the veterans kind of like not dog it necessarily, but sort of like
trail off.
Because we just talked about it. This has to be a nightmare for Claude Giroux. This season has to have been a nightmare. Like, he thought last year, like, okay, this will
turn the corner.
This will be like a building block for the cup. Yeah. Then coming into this year, he was like, this might be the year. We were one win away, even though not playing our best hockey, we were one win away from the conference final. Like, this might be it. And then it just turned into this. I mean, I could completely imagine a scenario where the rookies seem like they're playing looser and the veterans just kind of look checked out, which would suck. But I mean, if Claude Giroux has now spent how many years here just
toiling,
not getting a chance.
Just toiling away.
Yeah. I don't know. I would just like to see an enjoyable game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing Wade Allison draw in for NAK. I mean, I mentioned it on the podcast, or on the Twitter
account.
Didn't you say
he took another penalty last night, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of soft, I'll say. But I think the reason they called that is right before he got called for the penalty, he did something similar to the very same player. So I want to say the refs probably saw that, gave him a pass, and then they see him drop the same person again. And the problem is like, even if he were scoring at the same rate as he was last year, those like, they don't offset the production on the offensive side. He has taken so many just stupid penalties where it's not even just like an effort penalty where he's on the back check and he's stopping a 3-on-2. Predominantly, they're neutral zone, like he sticks his stick out or he interferes with a player who doesn't have the puck at an inopportune time. And when your team is, I mean, they were 3-for-3 on the power play last night and we were tied for 28th. So I'm assuming we're back to like 30th in the league in penalty kill. When your team's penalty kill is that bad, it just highlights the mistake that much more. And I mean, I think we were all big fans of him last year, and I was hoping that he took the next step to be a borderline, like, top nine winger that you could kind of put into that third line if need be, and he's done the exact opposite, unfortunately. So hoping to see Wade Allison and see what he can provide, have him, Lozinski, some younger guys get some time.
Oh, that'd be nice. I mean, Allison, from everything I've heard, he's got an NHL shot, so love to see that put to use. And, yeah, I think we all agree. NAK, like a lot of the young players on this team, just drastically regressed this year. So we'll see what happens. Let's get into the Lawton signing. I wanted to save this for last because it's probably going to be our longest segment. But, I mean, 5 years, $3 million a year. Apparently there's very little signing bonus, which I guess helps the team. We're going to have to protect him, though, for the expansion draft. And I know when that deal got done, Matt, I think that was the first thing you said. You're like, why didn't they wait and just get this done after the expansion draft? That way you don't have to waste a spot on him. And Mike, I think you brought up a good point. Hopefully, you know, they had an idea that they wanted to sign him and they had a plan in place or something. But what are you guys – go ahead.
Yeah,
what I was going to ask, what are your guys' thoughts on the
– No, just along that, like, I think – I do agree with Matt, and I saw that take from a couple people, like they could have waited to do the deal, but I think that they probably know and knew coming in, like, Lawton is going to be one of the guys we protect no matter what, and the expansion draft might be a way for us to shed a contract, especially now. Like, if they were already going into next or into this expansion draft thinking that JVR was going to be a guy that they weren't going to protect, now they have they can protect or unprotect two guys like Jake and JVR. We've talked about how hard it is to move money right now in this, how like stringent the cap is right now. I mean, if you're coming off a season where you were not supposed to be this bad and you were this bad, like this might be the time to kind of lose a player for nothing almost. Plus, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of the way I see it. I think they just really like Scott Laudon. And
I think like people were, I saw some people saying like, oh, you overpaid on the deal or not overpaid, extended him for too long. He's 26. I mean, you have him for the rest of his prime. In an ideal world, you don't give someone 5 years if they're a middle six center wing. Obviously, they view him as kind of like, which he is. I mean, if you look at the even strength scoring he has in terms of his production relative to some very good players, he's right in line. He just doesn't get any power play time, which is, I mean, nor here nor there. But looking at the AAV, $3 million, that's fair. Like Tanner Pearson just got signed to a $3.25 million 3-year deal. So he got $250,000 more. And unless I'm missing something, he's a better player. He being Scott Laudon.
Yeah, Scott Laudon is
significantly better. Older player gets 3.25 over three. In order to keep him at three, you go a couple extra years, which includes his entire prime. That's not going to be something that you can't trade down the line. Either it's not going to be something that's going to be an issue.
$3 million is not going to make or break this team.
No,
like Mike said, those albatross contracts—they're what make or break this team. And I think you'd both agree with me. You know, this season was not JVR or Jake's fault. They all played well. It just comes
top two scorers,
top two scorers, and I think at the start of the year I said Jake's going to lead us in points. It's just, you know, it's business, right? At the end of the day, the dollars got to match, and we'll see what kind of moves they make. But 5 years for Scott Laudon, I mean, after the end of the – I can easily see them – and there's no move clause, right, or no trade clause. No. There's nothing to really protect him. After the second or third year, you got a young guy that's pressing. All right. Someone will take him, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
What? And it keeps them from getting into – I mean, we literally just talked about this in the episode prior. Like, this prevents them – prevents them from getting into a bidding war with, you know, teams over a guy – obviously, he just got signed, but over a guy like Tanner Pearson or something. Like, if that's where the market's going to be on third-line centers, I mean, if they had traded Scott Laudon, they would have had no choice but to get
him. He's a winger, so imagine third-line centers are probably 3.5 to 4.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like – you're looking at anywhere for a third line center on the open market, 3.5 to 4. Like,
the question now becomes, though, I want to get your guys' take because I actually just pulled up Cap Friendly. So if we say we protect Giroux, Hayes, Konechny, Couturier, Laudon, the question then becomes, do we protect Patrick and Lindblom and then leave JVR and Jake?
I think that's probably. I think they're gonna go 7-3 setup, and I think they're gonna leave notable players left open are gonna be Jake, JVR, and Ghost. I would be really surprised if they left Patrick unopened.
I would too.
I would think they'd sooner move him in a deal, even if they could recoup a first round pick for him. I think they'd sooner do that than just flat out lose him in the expansion. I guess Seattle would take him, but like I said, this is, you never want to lose a player of the caliber of JVR or Jake to the expansion, but coming into it, we were already thinking we were going to lose one of them to it. So this is an opportunity to get $7 to $8 million under the cap. Maybe you throw that money at Dougie.
You got to reallocate that. So like, I'm okay with the defense. Right. Exactly, I'm okay with losing one of them if it means you reallocate those funds to either a Ryan Ellis type or a Dougie Hamilton in free agency. You know, I'm fine with that. We'll see what happens. I don't know. The expansion draft looms large in a lot of people's minds right now, I would think. Do you guys want to talk about, should we hit on any kind of league deals that were like, hey, that was surprising. Did we talk about Washington real quick?
No, just what was your, yeah, I guess one surprising deal and one deal you liked, just real quick, each person.
I was surprised by the Washington deal. Only of who Washington traded. I was surprised they traded Verana because I thought he's really good. I was not surprised that Detroit traded Mantha because Mantha is like their version of Ghost in that like he's constantly mentioned in every trade rumor that ever comes out. Like I feel like they've been trying to move Mantha since they drafted him, honestly. So I wasn't surprised he got moved, but I was surprised that they got Verana and the picks they got back.
And a first and a second?
Yeah, that made, good deal for Stevie Y. Good deal for them. A move that I liked. Trying to think. Anything else that popped up? I would joke and say Gus to Montreal, but that's not funny. I think here I'll give our neighbors some credit, Jeff Carter. I think that's a pretty good deal. Now he's got term left after. It's not just
a lot of money left for next year.
And I was listening to 31 Thoughts. They had their recap of the trade deadline, and Jeff and Elliot mentioned like you know in terms of cap recapture, if he retires after this year, it's actually not that bad. So there's a chance. I guess they're kicking around that this is Carter's last year, and then he'd retire after this, and that way the money just kind of gets dispersed. And they said it's not that bad, so.
Yeah, it's dispersed by, like, four different teams, I'm pretty sure.
Well, the Flyers signed into the deal, so. Really?
We're not one of them, though. Wow. We're not one of
okay.
them. Yeah.
Hey, look at that. Yeah. Nice move, Homer. Nice. Yeah. What about you guys? Give me some moves that you liked at the deadline.
I'll agree with you. I think we were all surprised by this one, but the Vrana and Mantha one, I mean. Jacob Vrana is, they have comparable numbers right now. Vrana's a year younger, is a great, even strength player. He doesn't really even get much power play time with the Caps. Better skater. Maybe that's why they wanted Mantha, because he can add something to the power play. And Mantha is also your prototypical like power forward.
That is the one thing with the Caps. They got bigger again. They are a hunk. They're a hunky, beefy team, man.
Even Raffle, if he can suit up on the fourth line every now and then, he's
not a small man.
We've seen Raffle play strong hockey. So, yeah, I mean, kind of a weird move. But I think the real part is adding in the picks. I feel like that wasn't necessary. I don't know.
Yeah, when I saw it was straight up, but, I was like maybe that the value is pretty even. I've seen some people think that, like, I guess Mantha's a slightly better player. But to add a first and a second, like, that would be like if – I don't even know if Morgan Frost was having like a pretty decent year this year, he's not proven. Like maybe you give up a first along with him for someone like a Mantha or Verana, but
Mantha also has had a little trouble staying healthy the last couple of years. So that's one thing
he's
to note
signed.
Too.
I think that's the biggest thing is that he's signed and Verana is not. So I think that's a big.
But do you
part
think Verana would garner more than 5.7 mil a year?
Hell no.
I mean, TK just got what, like 5.4?
Yeah. One trade I did like, I didn't like this is a weird one. So I didn't like the value of the trade, but I do like the trade for the team. I think Toronto picking up Nick Foligno is like low key a pretty good move because Foligno always brings it in the playoffs. He's a nasty guy. I was listening to his interview on the Trade Center, TSN Trade Center, when they were doing the deadline show. And he was basically like, look, I'm not going to kid anybody. He literally said, he's like, I'm not kidding anybody right now. We know how good the Leafs are on offense. I don't need to come in and be that guy. If I need to play, you know, defensive hockey and kind of get in people's faces to let those guys do the work in the offensive zone, he's like, that's what I'm going to do. If they need me to jump up for a shift late in the third to get a goal, like, I'm going to do that too. So I think, you know, you're bringing a captain, you're bringing a big guy. And I mean, we've seen Foligno.
He's a Flyers killer.
He has skill.
Absolutely. So I like Foligno. I don't know if I like him for a first round pick, but I think that's that. That's low-key a move that, like, when I saw that, I was like, damn, Toronto's really going for it. They think that this is the year.
Probably and have the easiest path.
Every day, I believe in that team more and more, so.
Matt, give me your surprise and a move you liked.
Surprise. I mean, like you said, I mean, that was definitely the most surprising, the one we've already talked about with the Capitals. I was surprised that Taylor Hall didn't go for a first. I feel like they gave him Anders Bjork in a second for him and who's the fourth liner? Curtis Lazar. He's been a Flyers killer this season. I don't think, like, this season specifically, he's been pretty decent, but that's probably in an expanded role in a very bad Buffalo Sabres team. Like, he was probably playing more minutes than he will in Boston. I was just surprised he didn't garner first. I'm interested to see how he fits in with that team. I mean, he's still a very good offensive player, and he still has the good advanced stats. So I'm interested to see what happens there. And then one I thought was a good move, I kind of agree with Mike. I think even though the value makes no sense, I think Nick Foligno adding that dynamic to Toronto. Like, sometimes when you add too big of a name who needs the puck or kind of changes the team dynamic in terms of, like, playing time or things like that, I think that's where you get yourself into problems. I think that's what the Pittsburgh Penguins did a couple times when they got, like, Brendan Morrow, Jerome Ginla.
Yeah,
and they were taking away time from players who had actually played very well for them in the given season. I think if you're able to plug him in on the third line, kind of bump someone to wing and move one of the players they've been rotating in off the fourth line, you solidify the strength down the middle. Everyone always talks about, oh, well, they're going to get bullied by Montreal in the playoffs. Like, now they have Zach Bogosian, they have Muzzin, they have Wayne Simmons, they have Nick Foligno.
How can they afford all these people? How? I feel like the Leafs have 80 people.
Because they're all on, like, dirt.
Jason Spezza is making, like, league minimum, scoring, like, crazy. He's got, like, 25 points already this year, I'm pretty sure.
Good for him. Take that, Babcock.
Speaking of Babcock.
Oh, yeah. You said he was on the...
I can't believe... I turned it on, and at first, like, I was like, wait, that can't be him. I was, like, walking away, and a second period comes around. I see him back on there. I'm like, who in the world thought it would be a good idea, after everything that happened, to have Mike Babcock be an analyst on NBC Sports?
Maybe not the worst thing that they're losing hockey then for the, time,
like,
being. I mean,
like, read the room.
Yeah. We'll see. We will see, gentlemen. Anything else before we should wrap up? I will say Chuck's presser I didn't have too many, like, standout quotes that I saw, other than when asked if there's any possible changes to the coaching staff, he just said no. Which, again, I think he has to say that right now. But seriously, I'm going to keep it real with you guys right now. If they continue to play like this, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that AV is gone. I would be shocked. I would be surprised. But if for the next 13, 14 games, whatever's left, if they get blown out, like, three more times, and they continue to just be this horrible and this disengaged, I mean, it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. I think you have to take a look at the head coach at that point. But the assistant should be gone. I just don't think he can say that right now because it's middle of the season. It's the end of the season. No. It doesn't make sense to
him literally
at this point. So,
up until the day before he fired Dave Haxtell, he said he was not going to fire Dave Haxtell.
Yeah, so, you won't really know.
The GM can never come out against the coach, especially in season.
He had to say it, but we'll see. If anything, we can just kind of relax, right? The pressure and the anxiety of this team, you know, hopefully making the playoffs, that's gone. We can just kind of just let the calm wash over us. Enjoy the little things to finish out the season. Hopefully we see Wade Allison and some of the young guys get to see some of the veterans, you know, try and build some momentum, like I said, for the next year. Coots is still looking good. G is still good. All our veterans are still looking good. Just try and stay positive, everybody. You know, we got some. I guess you can only go up from here, right? I guess that's about it. That's where we'll end it on. Can only go up from here. Take care, everybody.